The following shiur has been delivered by Dayan Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beit Avad. For more information or shiurim, please visit theshc.org or call 1-844-200-TSHC. That's 1-844-200-8742.
In this week's parasha, Parashat Mishpatim, we have really the basis of all of Dinei Mamonot, all of monetary law that governs the interactions between Ben Adam Lachavero in the financial realm. All of Choshen Mishpat starts with Parashat Mishpatim. We have as the preface, so to speak, to this parasha, the parasha of Avadim, the halachot of Eved Ivri and Eved Knani. Eved Ivri is a Jew who sold, either because he stole, he doesn't have the money to pay back, so he's sold by Beit Din, or he sells himself under certain circumstances, and we also have the parasha of Eved Knani, a non-Jew who's brought into a semi-state of Gerut by being owned by a Jew. He goes to Milah and Tfilah to become a semi-Jew. He's mechuyav in many of the mitzvot, not all the mitzvot. And this parasha is really the beginning of Dinei Mamonot. And it would seem to be that there's a message in the halakha of Eved Ivri, which is the backbone of all of the halakhot of the parasha. Because we open up the haftorah of the parasha, even though in many years we do not read this haftorah, because in the year when it comes out, the week before Rosh Chodesh Adar, and it's Parashat Shkalim, so then we read the haftorah, the special haftorah of Parashat Shkalim. Occasionally it comes out where it's a leap year, and then we do read the haftorah of Parashat Mishpatim. It's from the Navi Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who exhorted Klal Yisrael in his generation to free the Avadim, the Jewish servants, with consistency to the halachot that I mentioned in this week's parasha. So we see that that's really not just a prat, it's not just a detail of all of Dinei Mamonot, but it seems to be the underlying theme. What is that underlying theme? What is the parasha of Eved Ivri, the Jewish-owned slave who's sold to a master, and he loses somewhat of his status, so to speak, temporarily, of being Jewish? His master could give him a non-Jewish wife, could give him a shivcha knanit. The children she bears from that marriage belong to the Adon. They're non-Jews. They're slaves. He enters into a marriage which a normal Jew wouldn't be able to enter into. He has children that are non-Jews, and then he's supposed to leave and go back to a regular Jewish life. And the pasuk tells us that his term of indenture is 6 years. Sheish shanim yavod uvashviit yetzel chavshi chinam. He's supposed to go out free. What happens if he doesn't want to go out free? He likes his marriage. Ohavti et adoni et ishti vet banai lo etzel chavshi. I do not want to go out free. V'igisho adonav el elukim. The master takes him to bezdin. V'igisho al adelet. He takes him to the door. And he drills a hole in his ear, in his earlobe, by the door. Va'avado la'olam. And then he works for him forever. Rashi tells us that it doesn't mean forever. It means olamo shel yovel, till the end of the 50-year period. But the parasha calls it le'olam. He's now not only a temporary Eved, he's now in avdut, in a permanent state of avdut, at least for the next half a century. And Rashi tells us, what's this strange ceremony of drilling his ear? Why is that a preface for entering a permanent, semi-permanent state of avdut? We understand that in Eved, in ancient times, was branded with the mark of avdut. There was an identifying feature, but the Torah is not telling us some type of primitive tribal identification system. Not only that, but the pasuk tells us in Parashat Bahar that lotideh bo befarech, an Eved Ivri has to be treated with utmost consideration. If there's only one pillow in the house, he gets it. You have to feed him whatever you would eat. The level that you have to treat an Eved Ivri, his dignity, his standing as a member of the Jewish race, he has to be treated the way you treat your own. And still there's this process of drilling a hole in his ear. What is this all about? And Rashi tells us from Chazal, Ozen zu, this ear, this pair of ears is somewhat hard of hearing. It stood by Har Sinai, this Jewish pair of ears, and it heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaim, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. You are my slaves, you are mishuabad to my service. That's the career of a Jew. Rabbi Miller Zatzal used to call the career of a Jew is serving Hashem. Vavodo leolam is the career that we have serving Hashem. Avadai hem velo avadim lavadim. If you indenture yourself, if you commit yourself to serve an earthly master, a master of mere flesh and blood, you're somewhat taking yourself out of that complete state of avdut, of a career of serving Hashem. The ear, the pair of ears that didn't hear that message, didn't internalize that message properly, has to have some type of lasting effect on that ear in order that he should properly hear that. And this is not only in the realm of inspirational, this really has, this idea really has a major repercussion in the realm of financial law that govern the relationships between employee and employers. Let's open up a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Daf Ayin Zayin Ayin Chet. And over there in the beginning of the sixth Perek HaSochet HaUnin, the Gemara tells us that in the spirit of the Pasuk telling us, Avadai Heim Velo Avadim LaAvadim, that one cannot be a Mishuabad, one cannot be completely subservient to a earthly master. Poel Chose Be'emtzai Yom. A worker, an employee can back out of a contract in the middle of the day. Let's define that a little bit with the halachot that's nidbaer, that's explained in that sugya. The halachot are codified by Maran in Choshem Mishpat, Simen Shin Lamed Gimel. The whole simen deals with the breakdown of this halacha. Let's explore what this means halacha l'maaseh for a few minutes. The Gemara tells us that there are two types of worker, employer, employee-employer relationships. There's something called a poel, and there's something called a kablan. And this is really the way jobs break themselves down till this very day. There's one type of person who has a work relationship. It doesn't make a difference if it's professional or manual labor, where he's really hired by the hour. He's hired for a term of work. That means I have a job, I work for a company, I'm an executive, I have a desk job, I'm a manager, production manager, whatever it is, I have a 9-to-5 job. My job is defined, of course, there's a job description, what I do, what my skill set is, what I bring to the job, what the terms of employment are, but essentially, my work, in a simple sense, is that I'm yours from 9-to-5. I don't have to work at 8 o'clock at night, but 9-to-5, I'm all yours. My time is not my own. I am mishuabat to you, that's called a poel. I work for you in terms of hours. In the times of Chazal discussed the case of a manual labor where a boss of a field came to a hitching spot where workers, people that were looking for employment would gather, and he would take a bunch of them, on his horse and wagon out to the field, and they would spend that day plowing, hoeing, raking, whatever was necessary to get the harvest going. That's a poel. Kablan is somebody who's hired to provide a service or a product. If I hire you to build an extension to my house, to build me a deck, if you're in mechanics, I hire you to put me in a new transmission. We're talking about a hire here. We're not talking about buying a product, right? I could buy from you chairs if you have a store. If you're a vendor, I could buy from you a desk, a table, a computer, a refrigerator, anything else. We're talking here about service, something that you do. I'm hiring you to work, but I'm not hiring you to work from 9-to-5. I'm hiring you to get a job done. Theoretically, you could do that job whenever you want. Now, of course, I can make up with you if you're, let's say, building a deck that I want it built in the next week and a half. Those are my terms of agreement. And you have to complete it in those terms. But theoretically, I don't really have you pinned down from 9-to-5. You could work at your own pace, at your own time. If you want to work like crazy and bring 100 workers and do the job tomorrow and get it all done, fine. If you want to work today, do piece by piece, come every day and do 2 hours of work, you could do that too. If you want, theoretically, you could come in the middle of the night. Of course, I might not want it. I might make up with you. I don't want a hammering at 3 o'clock in the morning. But as the job description, there's nothing about the job that defines it by being done at a certain time. You're really your own boss. You do your thing. You're providing me the same way if you're a vendor and you provide me with a purchase, with merchandise. You're providing me here with an end product, which is a deck that's built, transmission that's fixed, and so on and so forth. The difference between the two is the Gemara tells us that Poel Chozeh Be'emtza Yom, let's say in the simple sense, we'll use simple math in order to break it down. I hire you, Reuven hires Shimon to work for him today to manage a project from 9 to 5. I want you on site from 9 to 5. Okay, at 1 o'clock you want to walk out. The contract between the two of us starts as soon as we start. 9 o'clock in the morning, a verbal contract, both parties could walk away from. You're not supposed to walk away from a verbal contract. There's a lack of morality and a lack of being straightforward and such a thing. Halakha tells us, but we're not going to get into that now. But in the sense of being forced that you have to live up to a commitment and Bezdin will stick that to you. That's only if there's a kinyan. The kinyan between an employer and an employee starts the tchilat melachto. 9 o'clock in the morning, Reuven clocks in, he starts working. That means that now at 9 o'clock he's meshuabad. Reuven is meshuabad to provide himself from 9 to 5. Shimon is responsible to give him work and to pay him at the end of the day. Let's say we'll call it $1,000. 1 o'clock, Reuven has a midlife or a midday, a lunchtime crisis. He wants to walk out. He wants to start looking for a different job. He goes over to Shimon. He says, the job is not for me. Give me $500, half the day, and I'm out. Shimon says, what? What do you mean? I hired you for the day. No. Poel Chozeh Be'emtza Yom. Reuven can walk out, and he gets paid for half a day. Now, ostensibly, Shimon is going to take a loss, because if he needs that slot, that management slot, filled from 1 to 5, you understand, I'm just giving an example of a day, but we could be talking about for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years. But if he's hiring from 1 to 5, it's going to cost him more money than $500. It'll probably cost him $700. So we would say that Reuven should only get paid $300. No. Reuven did a half a day's job. He has the right to walk out. Reuven is his own boss. Avadai heim velo avadim la avadim, the Gemara tells us. If you're not at liberty to be able to walk out, to be able to chart your own course, to be able to call your own shots, you're mishuabad to somebody else. A Jew can't do that. We're not avadim. We're free men. And a free man has to be able to be the master of his own fate, the master of his own destiny. He can walk out in the middle of the day, he gets paid for half the day, finished, he walks out. Shimon could be left steaming, it doesn't make a difference. Reuven is fully within his halakhic rights. If, however, Reuven was supposed to build the deck, and he wants to back out in the middle, so he's not allowed to back out. What does that mean? Could Shimon take a whip to him and force Reuven to build the second half of the deck and not have to scramble and get a different crew to finish it? No. But if Reuven stops in the middle of the deck, right, building a half a deck in the same model, if the deck costs $1,000, the end product is $1,000, if Reuven leaves in the middle, Shimon is going to have to hire somebody else for $700. Over there, Reuven will only take the remainder of the $1,000, will only get $300. Why is that? Because since it's not an infringement on your standing as a free man, as an eved only to Hashem, I'm not a shabbat you to work for me to 9 to 5. You're providing me with an end product, with work that produce with a product, with a result. In that sense, you're your own boss. For me to pin you down and have you committed to finish that job is not a violation. So I could make that type of agreement, halacha says, with you, that you are mechuyav to get that job done. If it'll cost to finish up that job $700, then you only did $300. I'm only committed to you insofar that the job gets finished. So if it costs me $700 to get the job finished, I pay you only $300. Major chilek in halacha between the two. Now, of course, there's a certain amount of overlap, there's a certain amount of gray area between a poel and a kablan. I could charge a lawyer who's doing a case for me, is doing a legal work for me, he charges by the hour. But he's not really sure about 9 to 5. Lawyers are notorious for working crazy hours. They send you email, they do their research at 2 o'clock in the morning. I certainly don't have him as a job description working at 2 o'clock in the morning. But billing by the hour by a lawyer is just a way of defining how big the case is. But I'm really paying him for the case. He's a kablan. Same is true for an accountant. An accountant that I hire to do a certain piece of work for me to take care of an audit by the IRS, for me is really taking care of a job. If he walks away in the middle and I have to hire somebody else, he only gets the remainder of what I had to pay the other guy. He's a kablan, even though he's charging by the hour. You might have people that charge one lump sum for the day, but they're really working by the hour. So that, you know, the point is, are you your own boss, or do I have you stuck, so to speak, roped down and tied down to a desk at a certain time of the day? If that's the case, then that has to include an ability to walk away. Now, there are two ways to really understand this. One way is we can understand that really, when I hire somebody, really, I'm koneh him. The same way if he'd sell me a car, I own that car, I pay him for it. If he's mishabed himself to work, I own him, at least, insofar as the work is concerned. His ability to walk away in the middle of the day, says the Hagaot Ma'amini, who is one of the classic Rishonim, that what's really happening is an Eved Ivri is allowed to buy himself back. That means an Eved Ivri also could walk away in the middle, but he can't just walk away in the middle. An Eved Ivri sells himself. He's owned by his master, like we said. And that is a violation of his being an Eved Hashem, like we said. He's owned by his master. If he wants, his term of service is 6 years. He was sold for $1,000. If he is able to scrape together the funds after 3 years and buy himself back for $500, the remainder, he's allowed to do that. Normally, if I sell you a car, I can't buy back the car after 3 years. I could ask you if you want to sell it back to me. But I can't force you. Sale is for keeps. An Eved Ivri, the Torah built in a built-in zchut that he's allowed to buy himself back. Says the Hagaot Ma'amini that the same is true by a poel. When I hire somebody, he's owned by me insofar as his work is concerned. As far as his 9 to 5, for the next day, month, whatever the contract is, he is owned by me. He can buy himself back. You know what he does? He walks out in the middle, and the money that I would have to pay him for doing the work, I'm not going to pay him. That's as if he's paying me back on that half of the contract. What happens, let's say he was paid up front, and he already spent the money. He put the money into a different project. He doesn't have the money. He can't walk out. And Eved Ivri, if he was given the money and it was spent, if he can't, if he doesn't have the funding now to buy himself back, he's not allowed to. The Torah only gave him a zchut to buy himself back if he's going to pay for it. That is the psak halakha of the Hagaot Ma'amini. The Maharik, which is brought down la halakha by Maran, like we said, Shin Lam Gimel, Si'iv Gimel, says not that way. He says that the definition of Poel Chozer Be'emtzayom is that you can't own a different Jew. You could have a work commitment with him ostensibly, but it's not something that you could commit him to in the sense that you could force him to work. He's allowed to leave in the middle because there is no shiabud, there is no kinyan between a master and between a master and a slave in the sense of an employer and employee. You're not owned by your employer. Says the Marig, if he wants to walk away in the middle, there's nothing binding him. The money that's, let's say he was prepaid, that'll be money that he owes. Now, I might add, I think it's pashut that if somebody takes on a job because he knows that, and he makes up that the guy's gonna prepay him, and he knows the guy's gonna prepay him, and he wants to get the money, then walk out on the employer and have the money, and he'll pay him at some distant point. That, I think, is not within rights, because that is gzela. The same way if I buy something and I have full intention of not living up to, we'll give a better example. If I borrow money. I borrow money and I don't return it because right now I'm down and out. I say to you, listen, I don't have money. I'd love to pay. I'll pay you. I don't know, 2 months, 3 months. We'll work out a payment plan. I'll start paying. But I want to pay. I'm not a gazlan. I owe the money, and maybe it's wrong of me to not, but sometimes those are the circumstances. I'll pay when I'm able to. If somebody is to borrow money from somebody else, giving the impression that he's honest, and he has no intention of paying that money back, he's not a lover. Because the giving of the money was under false pretenses. If I take a job with somebody, I commit myself to a contract, and it's totally duping him, and because of that he lays out money, he pays me. Or if I'm a kaplan, and he pays me ahead for expenses and for workers, subcontractors, etc., etc., and I have no intention of finishing that off, it's not that I own the work, I'm a gazlan. So that's an important point to remember. We're talking over here, somebody entered into a contract, legitimately, with honest intentions, and he wants it back in the middle. Something different came up. Something's going on in his life. He's just too busy now. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to work. He wants to quit in the middle. He doesn't like the work, whatever it is. In that sense, there's a difference between Poel and Kavlan, like we just said, and the difference will play itself out in how the recompensation is figured out. Okay, that's the halakhot. There's a powerful lesson to take out of here. Like we said, the underpinning of all of financial law discussed in this parasha is this din of avadaihem velo avadim la avadim. Let's take this a step further. Let's take this to a deeper level that'll conceptualize for us what our real relationship between our employer and ourselves is. The story is told in the 50s, the 1950s. Somebody came from America, a religious lawyer, came to visit the Rav of Brisk, Rav Elvel Soloveitchik Zatzal. He comes in by him, he introduces himself, he's a religious lawyer from the States, and the Brisk Rav says to him, I have to say it in Yiddish, I'll translate. Und was tust du? What do you do? And he tells him again, he's a religious lawyer, he works for a company, he's this, he's that, he's coming here for bracha. And the Brisk Rav repeats again, Und was bist du? What are you? And he says it a third time, Was bist du? What are you? He sees the Rav is trying to point out something, he's quiet. The Rav explains to him. He says, the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Yonah, we read it in the Haftorah of Yom Kippur by Mincha. Before we go into Ne'ilah, and probably there's a very important message here for us to take into the end of Yom Kippur as we make our resolutions for the year coming up ahead every year. And Yonah is fleeing from Hashem. He's on a boat going to Tarshish. And the boat is tossing and turning. The sailors are fighting for survival. And they cast lots. They make a goral who's responsible, falls on Yonah. They bring him up. He's sleeping below deck. They bring him up. And they say to him, Who are you? Mama Secha, what do you do? And he says, Ivri Anoichi, I'm a Jew. Vet Elokim Ani Yarei, and I fear the God. At Elokim Ashamayim Ani Yarei, I fear the Lord of the heavens. And asked the Brisk Rav, this person, he said, they didn't ask him what his religious beliefs are. They didn't ask him if he's a liberal or if he's a conservative. They asked him, Ma Masecha, what do you do? Brisk Rav said, the job of a Jew, the career, the job description of a Jew is, Elokim Ani Yarei, I am a servant of Hashem. Ana Avda Dikucha Brichu. He says, what you do for a living? How you pay the mortgage, how you put bread on the table? That's a practical question. I asked you, what do you do? What do you do? What's your career? A Jew only has one career in this world, the Brisk Rav said to him. And that's what Yonah is telling us. Avadayim v'lo avadim lavadim. We're servants to Hashem, we're not servants to an earthly master. If that's going to get in the way and we feel bound, and that gives us a different sense of self, the Torah had to create my ability to walk out in order to impress on me that I'm not an eved to the guy who pays me a paycheck. That's how I pay the bills. That's how I pay the mortgage every month. That's me? That's what I do? What I do is the family that I'm raising, the mitzvot that I'm involved in, the chasadim that I take part in, the shiurim that I participate in, that's me. How do I pay the bills? okay, we'll talk business. I'll tell you what I do. I'm a lawyer. I'm an actuary. I'm an accountant. I'm in retail. I'm in wholesale, import, export, so on and so forth. That's not me. That's not what I do. That's what I do in order to provide for my family. This is an important message, and this message is the underpinnings of all of financial law that the Torah puts into us. The Torah gives us a vision over here. A Jew deals, a Jew buys, a Jew sells, a Jew goes out, he hustles, and he makes a living. But who are we? Avadayhem velo avadim lavadim. You know, there's a disease in America, a serious disease, it's called workaholism. Almost as bad as alcoholism, and it afflicts 35 to 40% of the population in the United States. Probably by the time we finish this shiur, that percentage will have gone up a little bit. What's a workaholic? A workaholic is somebody who works 9 to 5. Well, not 9 to 5. Today it's 8 to 6, or maybe 7 to 7. He gets home. He's smashed after a full day of work. Before he walks through the front door, he doesn't even say hello to his wife. He's checking his BlackBerry, what messages he has. 11 o'clock at night, he just, you know, tunes in because there's somebody in India that's there buying, selling. He tunes in just to see what's going on. 3 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up with an idea. He texts the boss. Of course, the boss texts him back because he's also a workaholic, so they're back and forth. He can't step out of his self-definition as what he does for a living. The reason why workaholism is hard to, takes over a person is because if a person doesn't have a sense of self that's fully independent of what he does for a living, then that career, so to speak, which is just the way he pays the bills, like the Brisker Rav was telling us, that takes over his way, the way he perceives himself, and he can't get away from that. That is the true message of this parasha. We have to free ourselves. We have to be free men. What does it mean to be a free man? Avadayhem, to be a servant of Hashem is to be free. To be free of everything around us, of earthly masters, in order to commit ourselves fully to our true career as Avadayhem velo avadim la'avadim.
This audio series has been brought to you by the Sephardic Halakha Center. The center is committed to advancing research and application of Halakha in the Sephardic community nationwide. For a halachic consultation, monetary Bet Din services, to order this series or to sign up to receive the Sephardic Halakha Journal, or for all other information, please call 1-844-200-TSHC or email info@theshc.org to subscribe.